You're listening to The Stone Tapes with Sam Stone, David J. Howe, Patricia H. Ash, George Mann and Robin Pierce. A show which sheds a little slice of geek sunshine into the ether.
Don't think that needed any kind of back intro. Yes, it's that time of year. It's Christmas and this is the 43rd edition of the Stone Tapes. Joining us this month in the studio, we have George Mann.
Hello.
We have Patricia H. Ash on the telephone.
Hiya.
Hi, Patricia. We will have Robin Pierce with us later, Joshua Lou Friedman, and making her radio debut, Emily Mann.
Hello.
And, of course, in the studio also Alex Lefchuk, our wonderful producer.
Hello.
So, over to George in this month.
We've got some goodies for you this month. This is a one that's particularly close to our hearts, actually. 376 years ago, on the 25th of December, so Christmas Day, 1642. Can you ever guess, Emily, who might have been born? No.
376 years ago,
famous scientist and mathematician and astronomer and occultist, in fact, Isaac Newton. So wow. Isaac Newton comes from Grantham, and I very much recommend a visit to his house, which is a National Trust property.
I didn't know he came from Grantham.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. My son goes to the same school, and they've got graffiti on the wall that he did.
That's so amazing. Yeah. 376 years ago,
yeah. And you'd love his house, because I'm going a little
that's fine.
Segue here, but he's got witch marks all around the windows and the door frames, and pictures of six-fingered hands in circles and stars and things to stop the witches getting into his house.
I'm going to have to go and have a look.
It's worth a visit.
It's obviously open to visitors.
It's National Trust. Yeah.
Why didn't I know this?
So there we go. This is one, actually, that I think is surprisingly recent, really. Mm. 153 years ago this month, on the 6th of December, was slavery abolished in the United States after the 13th Amendment was ratified. So only 153 years ago seems like it's a bit recent.
Mm. And it's a little segue here from me as well. I was recently doing some research for a book, and I discovered that in 1965 there were still people in the Deep South that were enslaved because they hadn't heard that they were free. And I was horrified to hear that.
1965,
100 years after it had been abolished. These poor people, generations, in fact, of people had stayed enslaved. And I think that's just horrifying.
Absolutely horrifying. Shocking.
Did you know that, Patricia?
That sounds about right for America.
back to Merry England. And 82 years ago today, Edward VIII abdicated on the 11th of December 1936. So,
wow, that doesn't seem that long ago, but wow, it is.
Yeah, it feels amazing. Like recent history, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That?
Incredible.
And last but not least, 53 years ago today, and this seems like a long time ago, on the 13th of December 1965 was the first ever Jack and Ori, episode of Jack and Ori.
I know, did you grow up with that,
I did
George?
Grow up with Jack and Ori, and I miss it.
Yeah.
I know they've done kind of new iterations of it, haven't they, with kind of bedtime stories for adults. And
absolutely.
They have a CBeebies bedtime story now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But so they've got a replacement of it.
They're like the picture flat books rather than in-depth readings.
And well, they also used to like recreate them as well. There was, so I think the very first one of these actually was Cap of Rushes.
Really?
And yeah, and I've seen that. I think I've actually seen that recreated in one Jack and Ori one time. So it was good. Good story. I always remember that one.
Important stuff for kids, yeah, I think that.
Absolutely. And it all shapes what we, you know, what we like about fiction. You know, growing up enjoying it on TV is one of the ways that children access it, isn't it?
Yeah,
as well as books.
I think books on TV is a really important thing.
Definitely. Yeah. And thank you, George. And now we're going to go over to Patricia. Patricia, how are you, and how's Texas today?
Well, Texas is actually quite lovely today. I haven't read anything, and I haven't really watched any movies, unfortunately, because my cat has been really ill.
Oh, no.
He's doing better. He's doing better, and he's eating now, but he's still not been well. So I've been playing a game on my phone while I've been at the vet.
So tell us about this game.
It's a lovely little game. It's called Castle Cats, and you collect a bunch of little cartoon cats, and then they go on quests, and they bring back materials, and then you can build things and unlock more cats. And periodically throughout the year, they have events where there are a bunch of special heroes available for a limited time only. And of course, the Halloween event was a little bit like the musical Wicked. There was a witch cat and some witch hunter cats, and they're all adorable. Of course, the thing that really keeps me coming back to this game is all of the little stories that they do, and they've been doing a Christmas story.
Sounds good.
That's a little bit, I mean, I haven't gotten to the end of it yet, because they're releasing it like a little segment at a time, But it's a little bit Christmas carol-y, and, you know, it's not Christmas until I've seen at least one adaptation of the Christmas Carol.
Wow. And Emily, do you like to play games?
Mm. Yeah.
Do you have a phone? Does Dad let you have a
phone? Oh, yes, well, it's got a phone and an iPad and a laptop. Modern kid, aren't you?
Yes. I like my devices.
Well, I think there are certainly things we learned from them, from using them as well. Technology is very important to us today, isn't it? Would you like to tell our listener how old you are, Emily? Because I'm sure they'll want to know.
I'm 10 years old.
And Patricia, I don't know if you realise this, but this is George's daughter, Emily.
I did catch that. Their last names are the same.
Indeed.
Very confident as well. So, what would you give this game out of 10, Patricia?
10 out of 10, or at the minute, 123 little cartoon heroes out of 150.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Brilliant.
Is this something you're going to keep playing as well? Is it one of those kind
Yeah,
it's not yeah, I've played it for 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's been holding my attention for more than a year, so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They keep releasing new little heroes, and the story keeps going. Like, at the beginning, they were fighting this evil Pugamancer, which was an adorable little pug. and now they're friends with that, but there's something else going on, and then there's the big sister of one of the main cats. Yeah, it's adorable.
I mean, you had me on cats. The minute I heard castle and cats, you know, I was sold.
And which cats?
I'm definitely going to have to look it up. And which
it's
cats?
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
I mean, not literally. It's actually a fairly simple game, but it's really fun.
I think we're all going to have to check that one out. Right, thank you. And it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. It's the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas once more.
And the velvet voice of Michael Bublé. Oh, I just adore his voice. Hello and welcome to Robin Pearce. Hi, Robin.
Hi there.
Hi. Robin.
Hello.
I believe you're going to do a new feature for us. It might become a yearly thing, this.
I am.
So tell us all about it.
The problem is, Aquaman doesn't open till today, and I haven't seen it yet. I won't see Bumblebee till the weekend, and I still haven't seen that animated Spider-Man movie. So I thought I'll do what I do for Starburst magazine.
Okay.
Because they always ask for a top 10 so that we can get the writer's top 40. So I thought I'd go through my personal top 10 as it stands right now. And see what you guys and our listeners make of it.
Fantastic.
Great stuff.
This may be controversial.
With you, Robin, never.
they are based purely on my own tastes. I can hear Sam groaning now.
No, I like a lot of your recommendations.
Right. Without any further ado, I feel like Tony Blackburn.
We're not going to interrupt you till you get to the end, and then I think we'll discuss.
Okay. In at number 10. And I'm surprised by this myself, because it's so low in the charts. Solo.
Oh.
Solo.
Mm.
So much better, in my opinion, than The Last Jedi.
Mm.
Okay. Number 9. Mission Impossible Fallout.
Mm.
Now, I was a big Bond fan until Daniel Craig took over, and then they just became too, like, realistic. And, you know, he's James Bond. He's not James Bourne, is he?
Yeah, I
agree. And now my spy films of choice. In at number 8, Halloween, the 40 years later sequel, which I just loved. In at number 7, you know how I like animation and Pixar and superheroes. Gotta be Incredibles 2. In at number 6, because it was so much fun, Ant-Man and Wasp.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
5, Deadpool 2. You gotta love a little Deadpool. In at number 4, are you ready for controversy?
Go ahead.
Christopher Robin.
Oh.
I loved that film. Yeah, that kind of threw you, didn't it?
It's not one I'd ever attempt to watch, but we'll talk more about that in a minute.
I haven't seen it, but I want to.
I've already bought the Blu-ray, and I'm not watching it until all the family is here on Christmas Day.
Cool.
Oh, wow.
Okay, number 3, The Shape of Water.
Mm.
Loved it, loved it, loved it. But not as much as I loved number 2, Ready Player One.
Oh, I think that's controversial.
Mm.
And I would have bet anything that Ready Player One would be the top of the list. In fact, it was when I saw it. But then I saw my number one. And it's been number one since April. Nothing can beat Avengers Infinity War. That's my film of the year.
Well,
Interesting list.
Yeah, what have you got to say about that, George? Anything?
Well, there's quite a few on there I haven't seen. Objection to them, just because I haven't got to the cinema as much as I'd like. I would have put Solo higher. Solo, for me, I thought was a great Star Wars movie. And I agree with you, better than Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I think Solo and Rogue One have been the best two new films they've made, actually.
I liked the Force Awakens, but there was something just... I go back and forth on The Last Jedi. Sometimes I think it's great, and I just can't get over Leia floating in space and swimming, and I can't get over the gambling planet, which I would have bet good money on that's where Lando Calrissian should have come in.
Mm.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that Lando would have worked there, definitely.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it myself, but I do fancy seeing Solo. I must admit, it's the one
it's great.
Out of
it's
all of
so
them that really
fun.
Attracts
underrated.
Me. Yeah, really. Yeah.
Very much underrated, especially some of the reveals
in
the film. And actually, you know those sabacc dice?
Yes, yeah.
The golden sabacc dice? Yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't admit there are a couple of those hanging off my rearview mirror in...
Fantastic.
Well, I've got a few on there that are on my hit list, like Deadpool 2, and I absolutely love Shape of Water.
I've seen Deadpool 2 and loved it. Yeah. Shape of Water I haven't seen yet, and it's an amazing it's on my
film.
List for Christmas.
Shape of Water, I reckon it's kind of an unofficial what happened next to the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Mm.
Fantastic. Ready Player One, I'm surprised it's so high. I thought it was entertaining, but a bit heartless.
I loved all the references and all the cameos. I can watch that over and over and over again and enjoy what I'm seeing and see something new. I have the soundtrack CD, and I keep picking up on little snippets and cues of music from various films and TV shows. I didn't realise that when watching the film, they've actually got a cue for Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories TV series in there
as
well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of little things to discover there, and I just keep on discovering.
Which is lovely, and I did think it was clever, and I'll admit I watched it on aeroplane, so probably not the best environment to enjoy it properly, but I just thought it lacked an emotional core for me.
It hasn't appealed to me at all, that one. I don't know why.
It's a quest. Sam, it's a quest. There's a reward here. Think of Treasure Island set in the world of Tron with every pop culture reference you can think of.
Right. I get it.
So there's two films that I'm surprised aren't on here. But they might. I suppose one of them might not be particularly your genre, but First Man and A Star Is Born, I think, were both great movies this year.
I haven't seen A Star Is Born.
I haven't seen
but
it either.
First Man, I found rather cold and rather detached.
Interesting.
Interesting, different perspectives, isn't it?
I was kind of expecting something more like The Right Stuff, which I love.
Okay, yeah.
And I also enjoyed Hidden Figures very, very much. So I went into this thinking, oh, this is going to be so great, because I remember the moon landings. And I thought, actually, you know what? Neil Armstrong comes around as being rather bland. I loved the moon sequences, but the rest, it was like, show some spirit, lad.
And I that's a fair accusation. I think it was a very understated performance from him.
But he was kind of a boring guy in real life, from what I gather.
Right.
You know, he wouldn't be the life and soul of the party. He'd be the quiet guy sitting in the corner.
Have you any comments to make on any of this, Alex?
I can see both points of view. First Man, I agree with Robin, because actually what Ryan Reynolds actually did was channel the detachment that Armstrong actually felt when obviously he'd lost his daughter.
Yeah.
Sorry, Emily. But I don't think he's going to go on the moon yet, anyway.
Not for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Ready Player One, it was a good movie. It was a great movie. It was up for Avengers. Yeah. I mean, maybe I think it was just too much of a trailer for Avengers Infinity War 2.
I mean, out of what I've seen on your list, to me, the top would be Shape of Water. I absolutely adored that film. I think it's an amazing film. Mind-blowing and not what I expected.
Infinity War, to me, it reshaped cinema's greatest villain, which, since 1977, has been Darth Vader. I thought that the prequel trilogy kind of undermined Darth Vader a little bit and made him a whiny, snot-nosed brat with mommy issues. But Thanos, you can see why he wants to do what he wants to do. And, you know, eradicating half of all living creatures, not just humans, animals, everything, so that the remaining half would have a better chance. There's an insane, twisted logic to it. And Josh Brolin's performance was just absolutely amazing. Even with all the CGI, it was amazing.
Josh Brolin is absolutely brilliant in everything he's in.
He's in Deadpool 2 as well, and he's fantastic in that.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. And, of course, the Sicario films, which would be number 11.
Mm.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I'm keen to see Mission Impossible Fallout because I've seen all the others and I thoroughly enjoyed
them.
And
I do too.
Yeah, I really like them.
They just get bigger and better.
And coming back to that, what you said about Bond, I'm the same about Daniel Craig. I'm very meh about him. It just doesn't do it for me at all. It isn't Bond. Miss the humour. I miss the tongue-in-cheek and you know, it's too serious.
I suppose they're trying to get closer to the books in the sense, you know, I'm a fan of the books.
But they did that with Timothy Dalton and... You know, it didn't really work. Then we had Pierce Brosnan come along, and to me,
I like Timothy.
Hold on, Timothy Dalton. Oh, he was great Bond.
I liked him.
I liked him, but audiences didn't.
No, fair point.
Yeah.
Which is why there was a gap before Pierce Brosnan came in, and he kind of bridged the gap between Connery, Moore, and Dalton.
Although License to Kill was the most popular Bond in the United States.
I absolutely loved that film. I think it was a great film.
Great song as well.
I've actually got soundtrack for that
great
one, Robin.
Song, yes.
See, there's my geekery coming out now.
Gladys Knight and the Pips.
On LP.
Fantastic. Oh, retro.
And I do listen to it.
Yeah. So Christopher Robin is and Shape of Water are definitely on my hit list to watch this Christmas season.
Christopher Robin is absolutely charming. I wasn't that keen on going to watch it because I like the Disney Pooh Bear films, you know, Winnie the Pooh and the Honey Tree. I used to watch them endlessly with the kids who have now grown up. But we went to see Christopher Robin, and, you know, I don't really like this new trend for making live-action versions of Disney animated classics. And I sort of sat down there, and I was just swept away by the charm and by Pooh's absolutely irrefutable logic in it.
I think you might enjoy that one, Emily.
Yeah. I think you might.
Yeah, that one, we want to see the new Mary Poppins as well, don't we?
That's
on my hit list.
I do really want to see the new Christopher Robin movie, because it looks really good, but it's just...
We haven't had a chance, have we?
Yeah, we haven't really been to the cinema lately. I think the last movie we went to see was Solo,
What
did you think of Solo?
It came out on disc. You make sure your daddy buys it for you.
I'll do that, Robin.
Right. Let's ask Emily what she thought of Solo while we're on that subject. What did you think of it?
Oh, Solo was amazing. I think there was, like, a few big surprises for me in it, but it was just, I think, one of the best new Star Wars movies.
Have you seen them all as well?
I've seen them all. I think it's definitely one of the best... Definitely way better than the prequels. They're just a bit...
Even Jar Jar Binks?
Hang on a second. Is Emily after my job as the film reviewer on this show?
Well, she's very articulate, Robin, you know. You've got a challenger there, I think.
Nice talking to you, Emily.
Nice talking
Good
to you,
job.
Too.
Well, that's brilliant. Thank you so much, Robin. And I think we're going to go off to get a bit of music and we'll wish you a happy Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you
Take
and
care,
to our
Robin.
Listener.
Now we have a little bit of Ariana Grande, Santa Tell Me.
Santa, tell me if you're really there. Don't make me fall in love again if you won't be here next year. Santa, tell me if he really cares, 'cause I can't give it all away if he won't be here next year. Let us know it's blasting now, but I won't get in the mood.
Shonen from your shoujo? Do you write your crush's name in your notebook, but not in your special notebook? Are you two being held against your will inside your school by a monochromatic bear? Okay, maybe not that one. But if any of these do apply to you, then tune in to Siren Radio with me, Lita Rosen, every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. for awesome music and anime news from Japan, as well as the head-scratching composition conundrum.
Oh, hello, and joining us now on the telephone is Joshua Lee Friedman. Josh, welcome back. We haven't spoken to you for so long. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Hi,
we're good. In the studio, we've got George Mann with us and his daughter, Emily Mann. So say hello.
Hi.
Hi, Emily. Hi. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Now, Josh...
Santa brings you everything you want. Go ahead.
Well, we've got this feature, regular feature now, which is called Let's Talk Series. And obviously, this is an opportunity for you to tell us of the series you might have been watching. I think I said that wrong.
Okay.
Series is. The series, in plural.
I'm already to review my Christmas movies and like, oh, we're talking series.
We're talking series first, and then we're going to go on to your review your Christmas films. I'll kick off to get this started. I've been watching Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries recently, which I absolutely love on a very strange level because it's not something.
It is crime.
It's brilliant. But it's set in around about the 1920s, 1930s.
It's Australia, isn't it?
In Australia. Yeah. And what's so wonderful about it is you've got a very modern woman as in Miss Fisher, and the design of the show is absolutely, it's a delight to watch it because the set's wonderful and the costumes are amazing. And I had that lovely lady that you know, Josh, Chase Masterson, visiting me a couple of weeks ago. And I was showing her this and she, like me, fell completely in love with the show. I'm not sure it's necessarily...
I asked if it was on Prime. Like, is it on Amazon Prime or Netflix?
Oh, it's actually on Netflix. That's the one I'm watching
it on. Great. Okay.
Yeah, and it is a lot. There's a lot of it. It's a, you know, the series about.
Aren't they making a movie at the moment?
I believe so.
I think they crowdfunded it or something like that.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, because it's such a big fan base.
I'm not surprised. I think it's got a massive. It's got that charm that all of the Poirots used to have, except that we've got a woman there.
Is it like the Poirots? Because actually, I'm going through my Poirot box. I bought the Blu-ray box out of Poirot. And I'm actually going through it all, and I'm in love.
Well,
so
if you think of Miss Marple, but young and beautiful, and you know, quite a raunchy woman, shall we say? I'm being careful what I say here because Emily's here.
Raunchy Miss Marple, is it?
Raunchy Miss Marple, but young. Then this is what you've got.
Well, I'm in.
Yeah, it's great. I just love it. It's great.
Are they comedies or are they?
No, they're quite serious. They have some light-hearted moments, but generally speaking, somebody always starts with somebody getting murdered, so it's got quite a formula. And usually, Miss Fisher is, she's a socialite who's turned lady detective, and starts working with the police. At first, they're very reluctant about that, but eventually realise that she knows more about it than they do, so they just let her go along with it. And it's great for girl power.
it sounds great.
No.
I've always been intrigued.
How many series do they have?
I must check, actually. At least five, I think.
At least five, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot to...
It's substantial. I think I'm on three. I've just started season three. But the seasons are quite long as well. I think there's about maybe 20 episodes in each.
Wow.
It seems to have taken me a lot of watching to get to season three. So, but I love it.
Yeah,
so
I mean, getting through the Poirot. I'm almost done with my Poirot. Poirot is a lot as well.
There's a new one at Christmas, isn't there? It's John Malkovich as Poirot with an English accent and no mustache.
I've heard about this
controversy.
I've heard about that, but I haven't seen it. Which one is that, by the way?
I'm not sure which one it is, to be honest, because it's on at Christmas or over the Christmas holiday.
Mm. I think I'll have to catch that one.
Yeah,
definitely have to catch that one. So what have you been?
I actually just saw the movie. Oh me,
What series have you been watching?
I'll be honest with you. I got a little time off, which I never get. I've got like maybe like a week off, And what I fell behind, a good friend of mine, I have friends that work in the, what they call the Berlantiverse or the Arrowverse.
Oh, wow.
And one of my best friends has just directed his, he's been editing on the show for a long time. They've just let him direct episodes of Legends of Tomorrow.
Fantastic.
And he's one of my best friends. So it's like, keeping up with that universe, and I include Gotham into that as well.
Yes.
You're talking Arrow. You're talking The Flash. You're talking Legends of Tomorrow. You're talking Supergirl. And in my opinion, Gotham kind of goes along with
that. Black Lightning as well?
Krypton. Season behind. I'm a whole season behind on all of these shows. So I bought them all. And I have been binging like a mofo.
I love binge TV.
And I just bought a new TV, like the largest state-of-the-art TV. I don't have any business owning a TV this big. So I'm breaking in my new giant television, wall-sized television.
Sounds great.
Catching up with all these shows, the Arrowverse.
There's a lot to love in those shows.
There is. Now,
there is a lot. You can bathe. You can bathe in these shows.
Now, George and Emily were telling me about a show they enjoy watching at Christmas. Do you want to tell us about that one?
Yeah, it's called Box of Delights. It's from 1984, and it's a BBC children's classic. And I watched it originally with my grandfather when it first aired. It's Patrick Troughton, and it's based on the John Masefield novel. It's kind of a very British fantasy story, really, about a kind of pagan magician, I suppose, who's still alive in modern days. He's the 1930s, and it was the first episode is kind of the most Christmassy thing you could ever watch, for me anyway. And we put it on.
You had me at Patrick Troughton.
He's brilliant, isn't it? And we watch it every. We set it up and watch it one a week in the run up to Christmas on a Sunday. So we sit down. We have a bit of a ritual now, don't we, Emily? Do you want to talk about our little ritual?
Right. So there's this whole thing in the show about possets. So they're not like lemon possets, not the dessert. So basically, there's warm milk, treacle, nut, a nutmeg, and a raw egg.
Yeah.
And basically you just drink it. It's delicious.
It's like liquid custard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely. So we have it every Sunday in the lead up to Christmas with Box of Delights.
Yeah, and it's a recipe that comes from the show. There's a whole thing in the show, the scene where a policeman tells him how to make a posset because he doesn't believe. He goes to the police and says, you know, this terrible stuff's going on, and the policeman's like, yes, young man, you've got an active imagination. Go home and have a posset, and here's how to make it. And he goes home.
Go ahead.
I'm saying it's kind of a classic moment when he goes home and he says to his housekeeper, "Do you know how to make a posset?" And she says, "Of course I do." And he says,
"I wish you would."
And it's one of the strangest sequences I've ever seen in a TV show where you watch her make this drink for him, and there's an actual fanfare while she carries it up the stairs to his room and he drinks it. And it's like, you wouldn't get that in a modern TV show. They wouldn't spend the time doing that, but it's marvellous.
I think David will definitely know about this, and I must look it up and see if we can get a copy of it.
I must do. I love that on a podcast.
Yeah.
I was just told by a little girl telling me about her pagan rituals. that's something you don't see every day. Have made a ritual out of it.
Well, Josh, stay with us now. We're going to go a little bit of music, and we'll be back with you shortly.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, "Won't see another one." And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. God, came in 18 to 1. I've got a feeling Christmas years for me and you. So happy Christmas. I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome.
You were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the junk they were singing. We kissed on a corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, go away, babe. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
But
you scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy, tabby. Christmas, you're ours, I pray God it's our love.
The boys of the NYPD chorus are singing, go away, babe. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day. I could have been someone. I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
The boys of the NYPD chorus are singing, go away, babe.
And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
And that was Pogues, Fairy Tale of New York. And Josh, you're going to tell us about your Christmas favourite films.
Well, yeah, I have odd ones. I'm from the school that comes from that Die Hard is a Christmas film.
Is a Christmas film.
Everybody says that. And I'm not sure.
I just didn't catch what he said. I agree. I think it is a Christmas film. I just didn't catch whether you were in the yes or no camp there, Josh.
Yeah, I'm in. Not only am I in the yes camp. The film I'd like to talk about is actually here in L.A. Quentin Tarantino owns a theater called the New Beverly Theater, right? And he only plays 35 millimeter films. And
wow.
This month for Christmas, he's doing a double. Well, he always does 35 millimeter films all day. That's what's playing at that theater. But for Christmas, he's doing a double feature of Die Hard. And my pick for my favorite Christmas crime movie called The Silent Partner that no one's heard about.
Oh.
But Tarantino knows. And these are happening on the big screen here in L.A. at his theater. Die Hard, we've all seen, we love, right?
Oh, I love it. It's a great film.
Yeah, but he's doing a double feature with that and The Silent Partner. And that's what I'm offering to this podcast as my favorite Christmas film. It's a crime movie. It's a very hardcore movie. What it's about, a bank teller who works at a bank in a mall. And, you know, there's always a Santa in the malls, you know, for Christmas time. Well, the bank teller realizes by watching body language that the Santa's going to rob his bank. And he needs money. So he hides a lot of money. And then when the robbery happens, he lets him take the credit for the robbery, but he takes all the money home. Well, now this evil Santa wants to get him back because he realizes on the news that this bank teller is saying there was so much money taken from the bank, but it wasn't the money he got. You know, he goes after the teller. It's one of the most incredible movies ever. It's Christopher Plummer, if you know from Sound of Music.
Yeah, I do.
As the evil Santa, and it is one of the most incredible crime Christmas movies you'll ever see. It's called The Silent Partner, and yes, it plays well with Die Hard.
It sounds familiar. I feel, especially when you said about
the
storyline. I feel like I've seen it.
Robbing the bank. And it's also the film debut of comedian John Candy. If you remember John Candy?
Oh, John Candy.
Really?
Yeah, it's his first movie. He plays just like, you know, a smaller role, but he's in the whole movie, too. And Susanna York, too.
Wow. Great cast. Is this in the 80s, then? Yeah.
Actually, late 70s. It's called The Silent Partner, and I'm just putting the word out there, and that's my favorite Christmas.
That's a great tip.
Yes, it's a dark crime drama. And it also has one of the most graphic killings. Oh, my God, I'm sorry. Emily's your daughter's in the room. As a horror fan, it has one of the most graphic on-screen killings I've ever seen in my life involving a fish tank. You just got to see it.
You're not watching that one, Emily.
You're not watching that
You can stick with Home Alone to get your John Candy fix.
Yeah, Home Alone's good. Yeah. That's pretty intense anyway.
Go ahead. I know I have a couple of movies to talk about that are out now, new Christmas horror.
Yeah, please tell us about those. We'd love to hear about them.
Well, one of them is called Sleigh Bells. And Sleigh Bells is spelled Bells, B-E-L-L-E-S. I like their girls.
Southern Belle.
But we have Barry Bostwick from Rocky Horror Picture Show playing Santa. And I'm a Rocky Horror fan, so I was thrilled to be involved with this project. And we shot that 2 years ago, but it finally is out now. And I knew there were problems with budget and effects and everything. And, well, they've ironed those out in the last 2 years because the movie does turn out really, really, it's fun. It's a fun watch. It's three wayward ladies who are off to do, like, they're podcasters or, I'm sorry, bloggers, if you will, bloggers. Yeah. And they go to an old Santa park, Disneyland for Christmas, if you will. And that's what their thing is. They film these things on their vlogs. But they go there and they actually find Santa, who's still battling Krampus. And our Krampus looks amazing. We have an amazing, I mean, even on set, we're talking practical effects, no CGI on Krampus.
And I love that.
He's the real deal.
I prefer practical effects mostly. I do. I mean, CGI's got his place.
And to be honest with you, we shot this movie like 2-3 years ago. This is before we have a million Krampus movies out, you know? And we do. We do. We have even that movie Krampus by Michael Dougherty is great. But we shot this way back then, and now it's out, and it's worth a look. And especially if you're a dubstep fan, dubstep music, they were telling me it's going to work into this movie. Well, it sure does, and it's nice. So that's the one, and I do recommend it now. I've finally seen it, and I'm like, you know, seal of approval, which I can't say about a lot of the films I work on. Now, I did another film. Now, there's a film out right now called All the Creatures Are Stirring, and I know I got to keep this quick because I know my time is short, but... All the Creatures Are Stirring is, you wanted to talk about female power. It's a female director. It's her first movie. I turned it down because I was already working on something. But the director and I are great friends. And so I did her second movie, which we just wrapped, which is called Granny's Home, which is a killer grandma.
Oh, that sounds great as well.
Which is, by the way, and it's actually family friendly. Yes.
That's good.
What's her name? Emma?
Emily.
Emily, you can see it too. We had such a great experience, and she was like so upset that I couldn't do her first movie. This anthology that's out right now called All the Creatures Are Stirring. And So, but I went to the premiere and everything, and, you know, it made nice. But she did a great job. If you like movies like Creepshow, our anthology, she did a great job with this one. It's all Christmas themed. And it's pretty amazing. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm so glad to be her first AD and that she offered it to me first. And I'm lucky enough to be in her team and working with her. But this movie you guys can rent and see now on all platforms. And it is a great, you know what I'm saying, an anthology of one of the stories. Let me give you an example real quick. One of the stories is, as an example, is a, you know, like you do at the office, you do a Secret Santa thing?
Yes.
This one has some Saw-type overlord has trapped him in the room.
Oh.
And the Secret Santa, every gift you open might be, will kill you.
Ah, interesting. Interesting. Yeah.
Like they open a gift and someone, it's a gun and someone gets their head blown off and you're like, okay, who's opening up the next gift? You know?
Wow.
Really, really fun stuff. So,
well, it sounds great, Josh. And I'm afraid that's pretty much all we've got time for. But thank you so much for being on the show. Great to have you back. I'm just going to say a huge thanks to George Mann, Patricia H. Ash, Robin Pierce, Joshua Lou Friedman, Emily Mann, and, of course, our producer, Alex Lefchuk. Merry Christmas, everybody. Say it.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Snow is falling. Love and understanding. Merry Christmas, everyone.